This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt.
Yeah,
on the Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, right, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Your camera's not on.
Okay. Sorry. There we are.
It's no worries. But, yeah, we should be...
I'm ready to go.
We are live. Go.
Okay, welcome to The Garden Show. I am Dean Holland, and I'm here with Charlie Dobbin. And how are you this morning, Charlie?
I'm excellent. Again, sorting out some gray day at my house and some interesting technical issues. No surprise, I guess.
No surprise. Well, yeah, because you're in your home studio in Prince Edward County. I'm in my home studio in Collingwood, Ontario. I want to give those numbers out, okay? So if you would like to call in and talk to Charlie anywhere in Toronto, you need to use this number, 416-360-0740, or toll-free anywhere in the province of Ontario. That's 1-866-740-4740. And please let Carlos know if you are a first-time caller, because then we will happily give you your garden wings, right, like that there. And the mantra, of course, is call often, call early, and one question per call, please.
Hey, speaking of the bell, et cetera, I just wanted to let everybody know, I got an interesting email from one of our listeners. He's in Bloomfield, New York. His name is Dave Lasher. And he wrote to say he was having trouble hearing me. He could hear you and he could hear the other callers. And so that's one of the reasons I got my fancy little headset. Then he updated me last week and he said, you know what? I still sounded like I was in a tin can a long ways away. Uh-huh. So what he did is he went to his computer and he went to listen live. And as soon as he went to listen live, so of course, what is that? That website is zoomerradio.ca. Listen live. And he said it came through, we come through clear as a bell if you go online to listen to us. So if anybody is listening on an old AM radio and having issues with clear audio, try the online version, the listen live at zoomerradio.ca.
Fabulous. And you said from Bloomfield, New York, did you say?
Correct, yeah.
Because you have a Bloomfield in Prince Edward County, don't you?
We do.
And I have a cupboard full of Bloomfield pottery from Bloomfield. So,
fancy.
From years ago. Yeah. Fancy. Okay, so you know what we'll do? We will just go to a quick break.
Okay.
And then we will be back.
And before we do that, I just want to say, I'd like to give some announcements when we get back.
You got it.
Right after this.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, welcome back to The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland here with Charlie Dobbin. And I'm going to give out those numbers one more time. And then, Charlie, you have a few announcements to make after that, right? Okay. So anywhere in Toronto, please call 416-360-0740 or anywhere in the province of Ontario. It's a toll-free number, 1-866-740-4740. What do you got for us there, Charlie?
Well, we're getting into that time of year, Dean, where all the hort societies are gearing up for spring, which, as you know, is right around the corner. So in order, this Tuesday, March the 8th, 7 o'clock, join the Pickering Garden and Horticultural Society, 7 p.m. It's a Zoom event. Everybody is welcome. The speaker is an incredibly intelligent, smart gardener. She is a master gardener, Kathy Cavasalis. She's presenting Berry Delicious, a discussion about growing small fruits in your home and garden. So to join that meeting, just send an email to Pickering Garden Club Info. That's one word, Pickering Garden Club Info at gmail.com. So that's this Tuesday. This Wednesday, March the 9th, you may join the Riverdale Horde Society for the same reason, a Zoom event. And again, a great speaker. It's Tina Van Andel, also a master gardener. 7 p.m. Go to info@riverdalehorticultural.ca to join the Zoom meeting. And then the best is the Agent Court Garden Club is hosting a in-person live meeting. So why is this important? Well, Dean, I'm not sure if you've ever been to a Hort Society meeting, but they serve the best food.
I'm there. I'm so there.
It's all about the snacks. Like they do, you know, obviously coffee and tea, but there's always homemade goodies and just delicious, you know, you'd want to stuff some in your pockets for the ride home kind of goodies. So the Agent Court Garden Club is hosting an in-person meeting. Members and guests, everyone is invited. Masks are required. It'll be Julie and Carlene Ginter teaching about honeybees and beekeeping. There will be light refreshments, so there you go. The meetings are at the Knox United Christian Education Center, which is at 2575 Midland Avenue at Shepherd. So that's Agent Court. Driveways off Rural Avenue. There is a bus stop right outside. Meeting starts at 7:30. So there you go. The very first in almost, well, that'll be almost 2 years to the day.
Yeah.
Since we last had an in-person Hort meeting. So good on you, Agent Court.
That's crazy. I'm excited already about the meeting and about the goodies. Okay, we've got a caller on the line. We've got a few, actually. Let's go to Shirley, who is calling from Grafton, Ontario. How are you, Shirley?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a sagau cactus. It was about 2.5 feet tall when we bought it about 25, 30 years ago. It's now, some of the segments are approaching the ceiling. How do we, or where do we cut it down? How do we do it? And what can I do with the segment that we cut off?
Sure. So what kind of cactus did you say it is?
I believe it's called a sagauru cactus.
Oh, sagauru, gotcha. All right, so here's what you're going to do. I know I've had this happen before, actually, years ago at my parents' house. I gave my dad a cactus that was very happy and grew and grew. So what you've got to do, you could send me a photograph to my email address if you wish, and then I could be absolutely clear. But when cacti get too tall and you look at the plant, you will see that there are the way they grow. Yeah, they're not just straight tissue. They have little joints where they'll send off branches, or they'll have ins and outs. Yeah, exactly. So wherever a segment or wherever the cacti has segmented itself into a side branch, or even in a tall, sort of a pillar, it'll still have segments along there. You can, with a very, very sharp knife, you probably have to use a saw, you can slice that plant, that cacti, into pieces at those segments. The pieces you take off, lay on the ground on newspaper for at least a week, just in a bright spot, regular room temperature. And what will happen is where you've made those cuts, the tissue will dry. To our eye, it is drying, but to the plant, it's actually responding to the severing that you've done, and it is producing some what we call undifferentiated tissue, and that tissue will turn into roots. But it does take a while, and you will have to just lay it out. You don't put it in soil at all until it has sat out for minimum of a week, maybe 2 weeks. It certainly will never die just lying there for even a month. But at some point, you'll lift up those pieces, then you'll sit them onto moist, sandy potting mix, like a good well-drained potting mix, stabilize with whatever little posts you need, could be something as simple as chopsticks, and sunny spot, leave them alone. Don't water, just want moist soil, and then don't water and let them be. It'll take a while, but you'll find roots within a month or two, and you'll have all kinds of little baby plants that have come off of the mother. So yeah, it's pretty fun. It's not too hard to do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah, thanks so much there, Shirley. Okay, Shirley reminded me of we have a very, very large jade plant, which I think I've talked about on the show. Yeah. And it was given to us by a couple who just could not move it anymore because it was so big, right? And so they got it when it was just a little tiny thing, and they had it for about 20 years. And so we have that in our house, and it is a bit cumbersome to move outside. And it's
you know what, you're gonna get a dolly at some point.
Yeah,
get a dolly and then roll it out, build a ramp. People do that.
Okay, we're gonna go to a quick break, and then when we come back, we have some more callers on the line.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yes, indeed. This is The Garden Show on Zoomer Radio, the only live garden show in Toronto. And I'm here with Charlie Dobbin. And Charlie, I just wanted to give out those numbers again. 416-360-0740 in Toronto. Toll free 1-866-740-4740. And also, Charlie, you mentioned your email. If you have something that you have to send a photo to Charlie, you want to do that through her email, c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. And that will get the email to Charlie. Okay. Charlie, I've got Elizabeth on the line. She is calling from Scarborough. And how are you this morning, Elizabeth?
Thank you very much. First of all, what date was the Agincourt Garden Information Center at Knox United? What date was that?
March 14th.
March the 14th. Oh, okay. Yeah. Now, my question is, since we're into March, I gather it would be time to take cuttings from my hibiscus? Hello?
Definitely yes, take cuttings, but more than that, consider giving your hibiscus a real proper pruning.
Okay.
Because now is the time to really prune it back so you won't have to prune it during the summer or next fall before you bring it in. Because it should be covered in buds at that point.
Okay, so when you're saying pruning, it's really kind of leggy. Now, how much... And would you suggest rooting a compound or putting it directly into potting soil?
To root those cuttings, number one, if depending on the amount of stem you take off when you're pruning,
and how
you're
much
not
should
gonna...
you take off?
Pardon?
How much should you take off? Like, I mean, do you root like 4 inches, that type of thing?
Well, it depends on the size of the plant, and if, like you say, it's leggy, what that means is there's a very long distance between the leaves.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure whether it's a bush or a tree or how big it is now or how big the pod is, any of that. But the point is, you do not hesitate to take as much as a half of that plant away.
Okay.
So you can prune it back to half size of what it is now, if that makes sense,
okay,
or a third. So somewhere between a third and a half. When you prune back, you want sharp pruners. You want to take it back to a bud that is growing to the outside of the plant, not to the inside of the plant. So be aware of where the buds are. And whatever you take off, it could be a foot long stem, but you're only going to try and root cuttings that are 4 to 6 inches long.
Okay,
and of course, your roots are going to come from where the leaves are now or the little buds. So I would use a rooting hormone to speed up the roots. Not necessary, but it will speed things up.
Yeah.
You can go into a moist potting soil, or you can go in straight into a glass of water with hibiscus. But main thing is take away that length of stem that's at the bottom so that you've got a bud at the bottom of the cutting and another bud. So at least two buds will be immersed under the soil or into the water to promote roots.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks
for listening.
Charlie, to that end, I have an email from Eveline, who also was asking about the hibiscus. She has it facing a south window. She previously sent you a photo. At that time, it had one bloom. This is about a week ago. Currently, there are two other buds waiting to bloom. Her question is, should she begin her monthly fertilizing now? It seems that it says, following these blooms, can I cut the plant back to a third, which I think you just addressed, but she's wondering about fertilizing.
So absolutely, yes. Our plants are very clever. They know, these are our indoor plants, and they could even be in your basement, but they know spring is coming. They know the days are getting longer, and they are starting to grow much more actively than they were in December. So yes, we promote and support that active growth with fertilizer. Of course, too much fertilizer is a bad thing. So it's just like a one-a-day vitamin. If you take 2 one-a-day vitamins, you're not going to be twice as healthy. As a matter of fact, you might actually poison yourself. So do not ever over-fertilize, just like we don't overtake our vitamins. And yes, once a month, following the instructions, and for sure, you will see even more, sort of burst of growth with lots of sun, consistent fertilizing, and watering when dry when it comes to the hibiscus. And for sure, do your cutting back right after that. You know, as soon as those buds are done, crank that plant right back, because they are very vigorous plants.
Okie dokie. Great. I have got Cynthia on the line, and she is calling from Mississauga. How are you this morning, Cynthia?
I'm very well, thanks. Thanks for taking my call, Charlie. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have a jade plant. It's quite big. And the other day, I find it's leaning one side, like it's coming out of the pot. So we took it, we repotted. Didn't repot, we add soil to it. And quite a few of the branches fell off and the leaves fell off. It's so large, we need to have it supported. So we put it against the wall, and it was fine. Mm-hmm. Then we looked, and it turned over. So we had to put back the soil in it. So I'm wondering, it is two big branches, like a bee, right? Very thick. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, can I separate it? Can I break it in two?
Okay, so you have a problem that lots of people have had with jade plants, so it's a very good question. You can't separate it in two like you would like a hosta or a daylily. Like, you can't just sort of slice the whole thing in half. But what you can do, and what I would do, is I would look at that plant that's in the pot, get out my sharp scissors, and I would cut the whole thing right back. So you're going to take off maybe, 75% of that upper growth is going to be severed from the mother plant until it's a balanced plant. You should not have to lean it up against a wall. You should not have to have it staked or held up in any way. Depending on how long it's been in that pot, if it's been in that pot for 5 or 10 or 20 years,
maybe a couple of years, yes.
How many years?
A couple of years, 2 years maybe.
A couple. Yeah, so that's not too bad. If it's only been a couple of years, once you cut it all back, take a look. If you see roots growing out the bottom, out of the drainage holes, then yes, indeed, consider repotting, fresh potting soil. Remember, when we give plants a bigger pot, the plants grow bigger.
Yes.
Which is the theory behind bonsai, right? Bonsai is a way of keeping plants small by keeping them in really small pots. So just if your house is big enough to have a jade jungle, then for sure you can certainly get into a bigger pot. But don't hesitate to be the master of that plant. Do some cutting back, tidy the whole thing up, and you're going to have a bushel load of cuttings that you've taken off, and you can regrow plants with every single one of those little branches that have been dropped off.
It's just a little tip cutting.
3 or 4 inches long.
Okie doke. So thank you so much for your call there, Cynthia.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that job that I spoke to you about last week there, Charlie, that I think I'm going to have to start life as a plant intimidator. I'm going to go around instead of a whisperer, I'm going to go into people's houses and I'm going to shout at plants and get them to do what we're supposed to do. Get off that wall. Get away from that wall. Stand up straight.
But sometimes it's people. I think that we love our plants. They're like our children, right? So people hesitate to use the tough love that they need to use with their plants, whether it's sharp pruners or yelling at it for not flowering and, you know, telling it that the composter is where it's heading off to.
Yeah.
So it's just all that, you know, there's just a hesitation. I think pruning is the hardest for most people. They just worry that they're going to kill the plant. And at this time of year, you would be very hard pressed to kill a plant with pruning. It's one of the best things you can do.
Gosh, it's like getting a haircut.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to go to, we've got a call from Burford, Ontario. We've got John on the line. How are you this morning, John?
We're great. We're great. We're looking forward to the buds on the trees and spring coming.
Indeed.
I have been doing for a number of years is shaking the dirt off the geraniums and putting them in a box and storing them and starting them again, and had good results. And also my canna lilies, I've cleaned them off and store them in a cool place and get them started. Is now a good time, and when do I start fertilizing?
I wouldn't rush the fertilizer with these guys unless you have a very, very bright, bright southern-facing sunroom or some grow lights. Because once you start them growing, you know, meaning you get those geraniums out of the dark, you provide them with some moisture and some soil, same with the cannas, they will respond and they will start to grow. If you fertilize, they're going to just grow that much faster. So sometimes we hold off on the fertilizer until we get a little closer to getting them outside, just because they're going to outgrow. You know, I've had people call me, you know, I've got 35 or 350 pots of geraniums. Like, when is spring coming so I can get them outside? So that, you know, be careful of that. You start too early, you'll regret it. It's only what, March 5th. I probably wait at least another 10 days before I get these guys potted up. But you're right. You're right in the right window of opportunity. Fresh potting soil for all of them. Clean, sterile pots. Bright, bright light, some water. And then, yeah, you could wait, you know, in a month or so after that, 4 to 6 weeks after you've potted them, consider some fertilizer.
Okay, so is that for cuttings too?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, and canna lilies?
Yeah, yeah, and you know, with your canna lilies, you don't even need to take them out. Do you put them in the ground outside or do you put them in pots?
Both.
Okay. Because sometimes, I mean, if you have room, it's so easy. Just leave them in the pots if you have somewhere you can put them, because you don't even have to dig them up. Just leave them in the pots, put them in a cool, dark place, and then bring them out in the spring, and you don't have to do any extra work. It's so simple. But you're right. If they're big pots and you have to bring them down to the basement or something, then, yeah, you have to dig them up.
Yeah, I have to dig them up because they actually almost destroy the pots because they multiply so much. They fill the pot, and the pot gets so much, you know, warmth and stuff. I almost have destroyed pots because it's almost impossible to get them out.
Yeah. Oh, they are very vigorous plants. So these are obviously red canna lilies that you're growing,
yes,
which are the most vigorous for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Thanks so much for the call there,
yeah,
John.
Thank you. Good luck with that. And we all want to get dirty, eh? Get our hands dirty.
Well, I just wanted to point out that we have only two more winter shows left because spring starts on Sunday, the 20th of March at 11:33 a.m. And so we've got next week and the week after, only two more winter shows. Then we are into spring, Charlie.
Spring, real spring. I'm looking forward to it. Spring. Trust me.
Love it. Okay, got Mary on the line, and Mary is calling from right inside Toronto. How are you this morning, Mary?
I'm fine, thank you, and how are both of you?
We're great.
Excellent.
Great, yeah. Whereabouts in Toronto are you, Mary?
Right in the middle of the city.
Got it. So what do you got for Charlie?
Well, another hibiscus question, oddly enough. Mm-hmm. I have, the first one I have, my niece gave it to me maybe 3 years ago now. It's in a 6-inch pot, white. It blooms prolifically for me all the time. And last year, I purchased two more, but they're both in 4-inch pots, like it was last maybe July or something. One was orange, one was yellow, I think. No, pink. What I would like to do, now the two I purchased, the orange one is like very tight growing straight up. It's almost as if you're hugging yourself. Whereas the pink one is sort of like the white one with the branches going out. I would like to put all three into one pot, but I don't have a lot of room. I have a south-facing garden. They go out in the summer. I'm wondering, can I do this? What should I do before? But what would be the smallest size pot that I could put all three in to make it easier for me?
You could probably, because keep in mind that hibiscus are super vigorous plants. If you've ever been in a resort in the Caribbean anywhere, you have seen hedges of hibiscus and you've seen the gardeners out there with machetes and chainsaws pruning them. So they withstand quite a lot of what we might think is a bit of an abusive behavior. So what I would do with the three is I would look for an 8-inch pot if you want the smallest.
Yeah,
10
would be
better, but you could probably get away with an 8-inch pot and fresh soil. When you take the plants, the three different plants out of the two or sort of three different pots, take a look at the roots. And be prepared. You don't want a massive root ball that's all growing in a circle that's just a ball okay. of roots.
Yeah.
Because what happens is plants will actually commit suicide, and it's not their fault. It's because right. we've left them in the pot too long, and the roots start to grow in a spiral. And the spiral roots, even when we take them out of the pot, once they've started that those directions, they keep going in that direction. So you may have to, and you likely will have to, trim back the roots to undo the spiral.
Right.
So open those roots up and then let them intertwine amongst between each other in the one pot with the nice fresh soil. It will become a fairly big bushy plant, but it'll be very pretty if you can get them all three blooming at the same time.
Now, would I be able to, once I do this, and this would be a good time of year to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Once I do that, how would I be able to keep it sort of in check from getting too big?
Well, you know, if you prune it all the time, you'll never see flowers. So
okay,
what
I
would do is
any of them
I would
at all.
Do, well, you can. The time to prune hibiscus is now, and that's why we've said it a couple times today.
Right.
Do your hard pruning today or this week, this time of year, and then you shouldn't have to hard prune again until next year because you want to, you know, maximize the flowers. Sometimes people have to do some pruning in the fall when they're bringing them in, but you really, really want to let them grow all spring and summer outside unpruned if you can. So do your repotting. I wouldn't rush to do a lot of trimming right now when you're repotting. Just concentrate on getting some roots growing and getting them stable in the pots. If you need to do some pruning next fall, then do so, but try and hold your pruning for the spring.
What about the one that I said, the orange or yellowy orange one, that is sort of like you're hugging it yourself, even when it had the buds? They seem to be trying to squeeze out from the hug. Should I chop off part of the top to have the side branches come out or what?
Well, you might eventually. I mean, you cannot get around the growing. Like, there's genetics in all this, right?
Oh,
so
I
that,
see.
Particularly that orangey yellow one, has a distinctive growing shape,
okay.
and that is part. It's in its. That's part of its DNA. So you're not going to be able to undo that growth form. Instead, what I'd probably do is think about where to place it, with considering the other two, so that it doesn't get lost in amongst these much more horizontally growing. Pink and white one, you know, you might end up kind of putting it more to the side and having the other two a little bit closer to the other side, up to you. But no, you can do fun things with hibiscus. Years ago, I got my parents a single pot, where it was a pink, red, and yellow hibiscus that had been grown and then braided so that it had a braided stem that stood about 3 or 4 feet tall, and then it was all a mass of leaves and flowers on the top. So it looked like a hibiscus tree with a braided stem, but three colors of flowers on the top. It was very pretty.
I've seen that.
Very beautiful.
Here's a weird question, though. The white.
Sorry,
one...
Mary. Actually, I got it. Mary, I got to go. Our one question, one call, and
oh, no,
we have to go to break. So thank you for the call.
Okay.
And please call again, though, and we will be right back after these messages.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to what is fast becoming the Hibiscus Show on Zoomer Radio. Wow. And, you know, I had sort of forgotten about hibiscus, I think, and I now they're in the forefront, and now I want one. Yeah,
they're easy to grow, but I will warn you, so far nobody's asked this question, but hibiscus are very susceptible to getting white fly in the middle of the winter. And or spider mites in the middle of winter. So that can be their downfall.
Oh, yuck. Don't like that sound of that at all. You know what I do like the sound of, though? I'm going to give the numbers out. 416-360-0740. That's the Toronto number. Or if you are calling from anywhere else in the province, it is a toll-free number, 1-866-740-4740. And we're going to go to Toronto. We've got Jean on the line. How are you this morning, Jean?
Not bad. I just want to know how to take care of peony. My peony dying because I don't know how to take care of them.
Oh, okay. So it's obviously not dying now. It's dormant outside, right? A peony is outside.
Outside, yes.
Yes, okay. If you provide it with what it wants to thrive, it should be fine. So number one, peonies want to be in full sun. So that means 6 hours of direct sunlight every day minimum. So lots of sun. They also want a fertile soil, a soil with compost, composted manure, triple mix, you know, good quality soil. They do not want to sit in a wet spot, a soggy spot. They need good drainage. They will rot if it's too wet. So never down low in a ditch, never in pure clay, always in a well-drained soil. And then the other thing that we often forget about peonies is when we plant them, you have to put the tuber, because a peony grows from a tuber, it has to be right on the surface of the soil, the top of the tuber. So there's little eyes on the tuber, little red sprouts in the spring when they start to grow. When you plant them, those little red eyes go right at the surface, like not above the surface, but at the surface, and then you will get flowers. If you plant your peony tubers too deep, it will not flower. And that's the most common reason why they don't flower, is they've been planted too deep. So lots of sun, well-drained soil, good fertile soil, good drainage, and plant them at the right level, and you're fine. You're good to go.
Okay.
Ali, thanks so much.
Okay,
you're welcome.
Thanks, Jean. Good luck. So peonies are part of my life. Years and years ago, I rented a house in Hamilton where I grew up, and it was all grass, so there were all these tulips coming up, and there was a peonies patch, and I was going to move them because I didn't like where they were. And somebody who happened to be coming by said, well, if you move them, they might not bloom for like 2 or 3 years, because they told me they don't like being moved. Now, I don't know. Is there much truth to that? Or
no, they can be moved. It is interesting how to move a peony, though, particularly an old peony. They are very cool plants because they live for a very long time. And but you lift them in the fall, never in the spring. When you lift them, you use a fork, like a digging fork. You get them up out of the ground, and then you look and you realize, my gosh, this is huge. It's like the size of a small Volkswagen that comes up out of the ground if it's a really old peony. The thing you have to do is you have to leave it, just let it sit out in the sun on the surface of the soil. Oh, for a couple of hours, make sure it doesn't, if it's going to rain, you don't do this. You do not want it to sit in the rain. And it goes from being very, very almost brittle to being a little more rubbery when you leave it up on the soil like that. And once it's a little bit rubbery, then you get out your sharp shovel and you start chopping it up into pieces and take all those different pieces with an eye, right? You always have to have those eyes attached, just like a potato, and replant them. And if you replant them with all the directions I just gave Jean, you should be fine. You should have flowers in the next spring.
Okay, cool. Let's go to Elaine in Brampton. And Elaine is a first-time caller. How are you this morning, Elaine?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Hope you two are as well.
We are well. I'm going to give you your garden wings, my dear.
Oh, thank you.
There you go. You earned them.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. We planted two Wichita blue junipers about 3 years ago. Now, the one is doing exceptionally well. The center stem has reached 6 feet. The other one's doing well, is same as the other. However, the center stem is at a standstill and has been all out. And it's about 4 feet high. And I took a good look at it to see why it's not doing anything. And it seems at the top of it, almost the shape of little fans. But I'm wondering, I didn't want to cut the stem for fear I ruined the whole plant. What do I do, since all the other branches at the front of it, behind it, and so on, are doing exceptionally well? You know, they've feathered out and looked lovely like the other one. What is wrong with the center stem? Can I do anything? Can I bring another stem and tie to it to make a center stem out of it, or what?
No, I don't think you need to do that. But I lost you when you said you looked closely at the four-footer at the center stem. And what did you see when you looked closely?
Well, it looks like little clusters at the top with little fan-shaped leaves.
Like frog.
I don't know what you call them, leaves or...
Yeah, they are, actually.
Yeah, so anyway, it's not growing up. It's not doing anything. I'm wondering why.
So the center stem does have a tip on it, though. It has a growing tip, I would think.
Well, it doesn't look like there's a growing tip because of these little clusters.
Are they side by side? Like, does it matter that they're the same size? Is there a symmetry as part of it?
Yeah, they're side by side, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, because what we find is even, and I've had this happen multi times, two identical plants should be genetically identical, planted side by side in identical circumstances, but they don't grow the same. Right. And that's like, well, how come, right? Like, what am I doing wrong?
Right.
It's not you. Sometimes plants just, that just happens. But the cool thing about what you have, which are pyramidal junipers, so little Christmas tree shape,
yes,
you can shear them.
Oh,
you can,
okay,
shear them with, you know, the Edward Scissorhands type long bladed shears. And so what I would do, I would wait till about June, and then I would go after that tall one, the 6-footer, and I would shear it down. And you can actually cut off the terminal, the top center stem, doing, you don't just cut it off like a straight line, like you don't want to make a blunt top. At the end of the day, you want it to still be a pointed top on the plant.
Yeah.
So you're gonna shear, ultimately the height's gonna come down by a foot or so, but at the end of the day, it's gonna still have that proper shape.
Oh.
And with the shorter one, you may say to yourself, I'm not gonna do a lot, I'm just gonna do a very, very fine bit of shearing, because remember, when we cut off those little tips of all those little branches, you will encourage more growth.
Oh.
So by doing a light shearing on the small one and a harder shearing on the tall one,
right,
you're going to try and get them more matching.
Yeah.
Okay, now, thank you very much for the call there, Elaine. I'm sorry, I have to go to a break, but we will be right back.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. I'm Dean Holland, and we are going to jump right into a phone call because we've got a couple on the line. We haven't got much time. Yasmin from Hamilton, how are you this morning, Yasmin?
Good morning, and thank you for the hibiscus show. I'm adding to that. I've got three hibiscus. And I generally prune them when I take them out in late spring. But my question is, sometimes the buds inside just fall off. Why is that?
It's probably because of temperature changes. So it could be that the furnace is coming on, it's blowing a lot of hot air around the plants, and they just drop the buds. It could be that it's really, really cold outside, and since they're close to a window, they're getting some cold off of the glass. I find that that's the one thing, is they do respond to temperature.
Okay, because it's the same plant where I have blooms and I also have falling buds, which never makes sense. So I guess it's where the plant
could be
is,
also,
I presume.
Sometimes plants sometimes they produce more buds than they can actually support. So it could be that the plant is what we call self-pruning. It could be dropping them because it's just like, I don't have enough energy to actually fulfill all these buds. I'm going to keep three and drop five.
Okay. Thank you. And another pest of hibiscus I find is aphids.
In the outside, for sure.
No, inside.
Okay,
they're pretty easy to, Yasmin, make sure you don't have aphids on your hibiscus when you bring them in the fall. Because you can, just with soap and water, you should be able to really clean them up and kill and annihilate any aphids. But the other ones, the white fly, the spider mites, they're a lot harder to kill.
Cool. Okay, we're going to go to Jean. Looks like Jean is calling from Penetang. How are you this morning, Jean?
Hi, I'm great. Charlie, you are a breath of fresh air. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My question is about Rose of Sharon. We got one gifted to us last spring, planted it, and we put a little fence around it to keep the dog away. Well, the wind blew the fence away, and we also have rabbits in and out of the subdivision, and it's eaten right down to the ground. Will it come back, do you think?
It depends. It's eaten right down to the ground. So it depends how chewed up it is. what I would do is make sure you do get another little, even one of those little wire fences, you know, you can stick them in the ground, just 1 foot yep. tall, so you don't run it over with a lawnmower. But take yep. a really close look once the snow melts. Make sure it's not all ragged and jagged. You'll be able to see if it might, the root might have survived and it might start to grow from, obviously from below ground. But if yep. the rabbits have left it very rough, try and do a little bit of a cleanup and make sure it's not a flat top at the stem, so water isn't sitting right on the stems. Make sure there's a slight bit of an angle that the stems are bluntly, cleanly cut at.
Maybe what Jean needs to do is make a little fence made of carrots around the Rose of Sharon.
Yeah,
and then, of course, the rabbits won't care about the Rose of Sharon because they'll just eat the carrots around there.
You never know. But you want to hear something else that's funny. Rose of Sharon that Jean is calling about is actually a hibiscus.
Is it really?
Yes.
It's a type of Yeah, of course.
It's a hardy hibiscus. Yeah.
Hardy hibiscus.
It's the hibiscus show. You're right. You said it.
It is. It is. And you know what? I got to tell you, of course, I started with you here in November when Frank Proctor decided to retire. And I don't know if you talked to Frank lately. I know you kind of reach out to him.
We've chatted. Yep. Him and Shirley are doing well.
Fabulous. And you warned me. You said, you know, like the show is quite different in the winter and then as spring ramps up. You know, and I got to tell you, not one single amaryllis question this week on the show. So you just know that spring is around the corner.
You'll see we're coming into hydrangea season fairly shortly.
Yeah. I was wondering if you, because we have a little bit of time left, is it worth just reminding people about some of those horticulture meetings that are coming up as well? Because we did, I think Carlos indicated that a couple of people called and were wanting you to run those dates by again. If you happen to have them
them close by for sure. Pickering Garden and Hort Society is a Zoom event. Everyone is welcome to join. That is Tuesday, March the 8th. And that is at, what time? 7:00. So that's that's with Kathy Cavasalis talking about Berry Delicious. So that's the Pickering Garden and Hort Society Zoom, 7:00, Tuesday, March 8th. The next day, Wednesday, March 9th, we have the Riverdale Horticultural Society with Tina Van Andel speaking on container gardening. And both of these are great speakers. Like, you cannot go wrong spending an hour listening to either of them. 7:00, Riverdale Hort Society. Contact them, info@riverdalehorticultural.ca. And the Pickering one was contact them at pickeringgardenclubinfo@gmail.com. The one I think that most people are excited about is the in-person Agent Court Garden Club meeting. That's March the 14th. It is at 7:00. It's a live and in-person. Masks are required, but everyone is welcome for 7:30 start time. They do meet at the Knox United Christian Education Center, which is 2575 Midland Avenue, March the 14th. That's right at Shepherd Avenue. Very fun group. Lots of chitter-chatter and laughter.
And lots of great food, right?
Not to mention refreshments.
Woohoo!
Thanks, everybody. Great calls. Keep them coming. Thanks, Dean. Thanks, Carlos. See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.